Manuscript Releases, Volume 19, Numbers 1360 to 1419. MR Number 1408, Conditions in Tacoma Park and Battle Creek. God's people to fulfill the gospel commission. Stand apart from those who undermine present truth. Written July 14, 1904, at Tacoma Park, Washington, D.C., to Dear Brother Butler. I began a letter to you a day or so ago, but I cannot find it, so will begin another without spending more time in looking. I am still quite weak, but hope to gain strength. Every afternoon since we returned, with the exception of Wednesday afternoon and today, we have had rain, with thunder and lightning. Matters here seem to be moving along nicely. But you know, the foundations for buildings do not make much of a show. It takes time and hard labor to make a foundation that is firm and strong. The boys' dormitory is going up. The lumber is on the ground, and the boys are hauling the sand that is to be used in making a cement for the outside finishing of the buildings. The brethren have been able to buy some lumber very cheap. After the Baltimore fire, large quantities of lumber were shipped to that place. The supply exceeded the demand, and several lots of lumber were sent to Washington. It lay down at the wharves till the owners grew tired of paying storage, and our brethren have been able to purchase some at about half price. They think that they have saved nearly $1,000 by this transaction. We have reason to be thankful that we are not in the city. I see more and more clearly the advantage of having a location at Tacoma Park. Today, Sarah and I drove up and down the quiet, shady streets. It is a beautiful place for our institutions. The Lord has guided us here. I expect to remain in Washington till the last of August. Then, if the Lord wills, we shall go to Los Angeles to attend the camp meeting there. I feel very sad over the condition of things in Battle Creek, but Brother Butler, the only thing we can do is to keep as quiet as possible. We shall be misjudged and falsified, but we must stand as firm as a rock for the truth. We are not to be at the beck and call of those who try to draw us away from the work that God has given us. Satan has come down with great power to work through men who, though they have been given a knowledge of the truth, have not kept the faith once delivered to the saints and have become active agencies in impeding the progress of God's cause. We must no longer allow ourselves to be called away from our God-given work. Our time is too precious. We must keep in the sunshine of the Lord's presence, fulfilling the commission that Christ gave to his disciples just before his ascension. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When we are inclined to despond, as I am when I cannot work as I long to, knowing as I do that time is fast passing and that my life may go out at any time, we must take Christ at his word and believe that all power is to be given to those who need it, that this power is for you and for me. Let us not look on the dark side, but look in faith to Jesus. Let us obey the word, Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. This is our work. Let us do it, teaching the things that Christ has commanded. The Lord will give us strength and grace. Let us trust him. There is to be a turning and an overturning, but our work is not to stop. We are to instruct and enlighten those who have not heard the truth for this time. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, was the word given to the disciples. Let us not allow our time to be occupied by lengthy discussions in board and committee meetings. When controversy arises, kneel down and pray. Christ will give us facilities with which to work. Then let us do our best. All the Savior's teachings inculcate the need of the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. We need a deeper trust. Our hearts need to be softened and subdued. We must cooperate with Christ, revealing the faith by which Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. It was by faith in the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, that he offered his sacrifice, and the Lord accepted the offering, sending fire from heaven to consume it. God's people are to use their talents and means and influence in doing the work he has given them. His denominated people are to occupy an important position before those who know not the truth. In ancient times, God sent his people into Egypt, keeping them there until his appointed time for bringing them out. Then, with a wonderful display of power, he delivered them and led them through the wilderness into the promised land. Those who murmured and complained, refusing to be converted from their evil ways, perished in the wilderness. But there were those who, because they were obedient, were sustained and strengthened by God. These were light bearers to the nations, through whose land they passed. In all ages, God's faithful people have been aggressive missionaries, consecrating all their resources to the honor of God and wisely improving their talents. Today, God's people are to surrender to him as a willing offering the powers of mind and body. In every age, the Lord gives his people talents to be used for the saving of the world. He has established institutions from which the light of truth is to shine forth to every part of the world. To us, the Lord has given a history of his work. The purity and unselfishness of his faithful servants is to be to us an example of what we may be. We are to be a chosen and peculiar people, zealous of good works, separated from all worldly ambition, working humbly with God. We are to be free from selfishness and pride. Our one desire is to be to honor God and advance his work in the world. At this crisis, all are called upon to take their position. We must stand apart from those who are determined to make shipwreck of the faith. We must not sell our Lord at any price. We are to refuse to listen to the sophistries that have been brought in to make of no effect the truth for this time. Not a stone is to be moved in the foundation of this truth, not a pillar moved. Let God's servants refuse to give the sophistries of the enemy a place in their minds. Do not examine these sophistries. They are Satan's stock in trade. He is using as his agencies all who will be worked by him. The time has come when even in the church and in our institutions, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But God will keep that which is committed to him. Let us draw near to him, that he may draw near to us. Let us bear a plain, clear testimony, right to the point, that hypnotism is being used by those who have departed from the faith, and that we are not to link up with them. Through those who depart from the faith, the power of the enemy will be exercised to lead others astray. I am instructed to warn our people that the perils of the last days are upon us. Those whose minds have become confused over the beautiful theories presented in Living Temple are losing their confidence in the faith once delivered to the saints. There are those who cannot discern their own danger. They have placed themselves where they reject the warnings of God's Spirit, and the enemy is working through them to draw souls away from Christ. I am bidden to say, beware, beware. Friday morning, I awoke last night at 12 with a heavy burden resting on me, and I began to write a straight, decided message to our physicians and ministers in Battle Creek. When this is copied, you shall have a copy. We are to strive earnestly for union on Bible lines, but we would better stand apart from those who will not heed the instruction of the Word of God, for they will always strive to vindicate their own course and will make charges against others. There are those who need to humble their hearts before they can be in union with truth and righteousness. My soul cries out for the living God. I plead with him to give might and strength and grace to his people. He will hear our prayers. We may rejoice in Him. Ellen G. White Estate, Washington, D.C., August 4th, 1988. Entire letter.